and went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So we have Paul and Silas. Then if you look at chapter 16, it says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him." So the missionary team of Paul and Silas added Timotheus. Well, then if you look down in chapter 16 and verse 10, now many of you that know your Bible know that the book of Acts was written by the physician Luke. Amen. We know the Holy Spirit wrote it all. Amen. But he used the writer Luke. And he says there in verse 10, "And after he had seen the vision immediately," what's that plural pronoun? "We endeavored." So we started with Paul and Silas. We gained Timotheus, and here we gained Luke. And so we have this missionary team of four. And we see in chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, we see divine direction. Paul had a burden and he wanted to get the gospel to folks. Amen. And that is a wonderful burden to have. It's the burden we all ought to have, and all God's people said. I thank God for missionaries that come. I think of one I think of always when I think of this is Brother Patrick Hayes. Brother Hayes, he comes in. And I remember Brother Hayes, and I've told him this, so I'm not telling any gossip or anything like that. First time I ever met Brother Hayes, I didn't like him. I just plain old didn't like him. He's pushy. But you know what, Brother Shinneberry? He was pushy because he loved those soldiers. And he knew they needed the gospel. And I told him, I said, "Listen, at first I thought you were pushy, but I tell you what you are, you're persistent for the Lord, and I like it." Amen. And Paul here, he wanted to go, and he was getting ready to go. And in verse 7 he says, "And they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." And remember what happened, verse 9, he said, "Come over to Macedonia and help us," and they went. So we see divine direction to Macedonia. And then, praise God, in verses 11, really through 40, we see divine conversions in Philippi. He met a woman named Lydia. And Mike, can I say this about Lydia? Lydia blows away a lot of stereotypes that sometimes preachers can get hooked on. Now listen, I think it's right that women be at home. I think they raise children. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, help me, church. Amen. But Lydia was a businesswoman. Maybe her kids were grown, I don't know. But she was a businesswoman and a successful one. A seller of purple in Thyatira. And you know what happened? She got saved. And the next thing you know, it wasn't her business anymore. It was God's business. And she gave and helped the missionary team. But then you know what happened? Paul couldn't keep his big mouth shut. And he ended up in the Philippian jail. And there was a great earthquake. You remember what happened? They had at midnight they arose and sang praises to God. And there was a great earthquake. I heard a preacher preach one time, said the night the jailhouse rocked. Some of you older crowd will understand that. Amen. And there it was. And they all had a chance to get away. And Paul said, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And the Philippian jailer got a light, came in and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And you know what happened? He got saved. They went home, had home evangelism, and the whole house got saved, and they got baptized. Amen. So we see divine direction to Macedonia. We see divine conversions at Philippi. Chapter 17, verses 1 through 9, we see divine declarations in Thessalonica. And you see there in chapter 1, they went unto Thessalonica, and then verse 2 says, "And Paul, as his manner was," I love that phrase, "as his manner was, went into them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. That's the gospel right there. So he declared unto them the gospel in Thessalonica. And then in Berea, in chapter 10 through 15, we see divine direction to Macedonia and divine conversions in Philippi and divine declarations in Thessalonica. And we see a divine reception in Berea. And that's really found in verse 11 of our text, and we'll get into our message here tonight. It says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so." You know, Paul and the missionary team, they thought much of the Thessalonians. If you not want to know what Paul thought of those Christians at Thessalonica, just read the opening verses of 1 Thessalonians. Really, verses 1 through 3 say, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our God and our Father." And then if you go down to verse 8, it says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also every place your faith Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything." They thought much of the church at Thessalonica, but they thought more of the church at Berea. These Christians at Berea. Look at Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were, what's the word, church? More noble. Hey, the Thessalonians were noble. They worked. They loved the Lord. They did work for the Lord. But these Bereans were more noble. Why? That they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. I want to encourage you to be a Berean, and that is to study your Bible, to know your Bible. And I'm going to give you go through the text here and give you some points, and then at the end I'm going to give you some practical things that I think can help you in your Bible study. First of all, if you're going to be a Berean, you're going to have to study your Bible. It's not in the text, but I believe it underlies everything. Number one, you're going to have to study your Bible prayerfully. Prayerfully. In James chapter 1, verse 5, God tells us of a prayer request that He always answers. You say, there's a prayer request that God always answers? Absolutely. If we ask it, we're not double-minded about it. We ask Him, and that is this: "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." You and I can't approach this Bible like it was, I've got a couple books up here with me, that like it was just another book. That with our human understanding, we can just go through this book and read it and memorize it. You can't do that with this book. You can't do that. I shouldn't say that. You can do that, but you'll not have what God wants for you. So when you and I are going to study our Bible, it's important that we do it prayerfully. And that is, God, You are infallible and I am fallible. God, You are omniscient, You are all-knowing, and I'm just this big when it comes to knowing. And I need Your wisdom as I read this book. It's so important, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to study and read the Bible, that we do it, number one, prayerfully. Secondly, I want you to notice with me the verse 11. It says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind." I want you to notice number two, we're sticking with the adverbs here. First of all, you're going to have to study the Bible prayerfully. You're going to have to study the Bible believingly. Now, I don't even know if that's a word, but it is tonight. Amen. Believingly. And that is, when you're reading the Bible, you see, there's a lot of, I think there's probably four different ways that people if we could say, study the Bible or observe the Bible. There are those that go through it casually. They just go through it casually. They just kind of brush through, hit and miss. Then there are those that brush through it critically. They're looking for flaws. They're looking for errors. I think it was Mark Twain who was asked one time if he wanted to go in and pay a dollar to hear Bob Ingersoll lecture, the famous atheist Bob Ingersoll, lecture on the errors of Moses. Mark Twain said, I'm not interested in that, but I would pay $1,000 to hear Moses lecture on the errors of Bob Ingersoll. Amen. I think that's pretty good. Amen. But there are those that study the Bible critically. There are those that study the Bible curiously. These are the folks that get off on the deep tangents. I mean, they're not interested in Daniel's image. They're not interested in the legs on Daniel's image. They're not interested in the toes on Daniel's image. They're interested in the corns on the toes on Daniel's image. Amen. And those, get so deep into the Bible. Well, that's the curiously. But you know, really what we ought to do is study it carefully and continually. And if we're going to do that, we're going to have to study it believingly. You know, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. When you read this book, you have to have faith that God gave it to us and that it's true. If you don't do that, you're not going to be studying it very long because you don't believe it. So we have to study it believingly. That is, when we read something, there are some extraordinary things in the Bible. That's an extra. The text we read this morning of Jesus saying to a raging storm, "Peace, be still," is extraordinary. But I believe it. I believe it. It's in the Bible. Amen. And so we're going to have to study it believingly. Something else, we're going to have to study it individually. Individually. And that is meaning you studying your Bible. Not the pastor studying the Bible for you. Now, I do that. Amen. Brother Becker studies his Bible for his class. Mrs. Lawley studies her Bible for her class. Brother Salmon studies his Bible for his class. Brother Hurth studies his Bible for his class. All our Sunday school teachers, Brother Jim does junior church. You study your Bible for that class. Amen. But the Bible says, study, 2 Timothy 2:15, to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 tells us that we are to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit residing in us. So many times we just take the study of another, and I'm not always against that. That's what books are, amen. But we're to study the Bible ourselves individually, getting into our Bibles, digging out truths of the Bible for ourselves, amen. And it's amazing how God will do that. Brother Drake and I were talking before the service, and he was asking me about just preparing sermons and those kind of things. And I remember something Dr. Malone said. He said, you know, it's hard to pour out to a congregation if you're not full on God's Word. And what he meant was, this is not a sermon book. This is not a sermon book. It's the Word of God, and God stirs my heart about a truth, and that truth becomes a sermon. That's the way it's supposed to work, amen. And so we have believingly, prayerfully, individually. Boy, this one is so important there. Look at the text with me in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. It says, that with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures. Searched. You know what? We should study the Bible thoroughly. We should search and dig and investigate and go through this Bible. I love it when I look at somebody's Bible and the pages are dirty. Now, sometimes I think they just spill coffee on it just to make dirty pages, amen. But I love seeing finger marks along the pages and notes here. And especially those of you that, God bless you, you don't have a wide margin Bible. I see those of you that you got that old Schofield and you got notes sideways here and then written all along. And you're looking for that one spot where there's a big blank page and you got that thing all marked. I love that. I love that. Search the Scriptures thoroughly. Meaning digging in there and studying for yourself. And I'm going to give you some tips on how to do that. You see, verse 11, prayerfully, believingly, individually, thoroughly. And this one, I know it sounds redundant, but I think you'll understand what I mean. Study the Bible biblically. You say, well, isn't that studying the Bible, Pastor? Well, it says they search the Scriptures. They search the Scriptures. Now, again, I'm not against books. I'm going to show you some books I think will help you in your Bible study. I have about 2,000 books in my library, and I didn't just buy books because I said, I need books for my shelf, so give me a yard full of red books and give me 17 blue books and green will look good. I didn't do that, amen. I got books for a specific purpose, but none of those are the Scriptures. None of those are the Scriptures. Study biblically. Look at what God said. Now, there are systems of study that will help you. Amen. I'll talk about those in just a little bit. But look up the verses. Read the Bible. Amen. Not books about the Bible. The Bible. Again, nothing wrong with books about the Bible. Nothing wrong with them. But they're not. I've said that about study Bibles for years. I'll talk a little bit about study Bibles. Every note in a study Bible is fallible. Because it was written by a man. But the Scriptures are infallible. God's Word. And they carry the power of God. Amen. So study the Bible biblically. Study the Bible thoroughly. Study the Bible individually. Study the Bible believingly. Study the Bible prayerfully. Brother Horsch almost stole my thunder there. Study the Bible daily. They search the Scriptures how often? Daily. Get in that Bible every day of the week, even on Sunday. Amen. That's the hardest day to study. Amen. Sunday. You get home, you have that big Baptist meal, and then you drift off into Neverland. Amen. And you come back tonight, and you're enjoying. Just take some time and search the Scriptures daily, whether those things are so. And that's the last point, number 7. So you have prayerfully, believingly, individually, thoroughly, biblically, daily. Number 7, doctrinally. That is one of the things I think where we miss most. And it's so important. They study doctrinally. Why? Because they studied whether those things were so. You see, the Bible has doctrines about it. Again, Drake and I were talking and listen, there are people that claim the name Christian that do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. They're not Christian. How do you know? The Bible says they're not. It's the spirit of Antichrist to say that Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh, that deity did not robe itself in flesh. How do you know that? It's in the doctrines of the Bible. The doctrine of God, the doctrine of the church, the doctrine of the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the virgin birth, the doctrine of the bodily resurrection, and on and on and on and on we could go. Study the Bible doctrinally. I think about that church in Ephesus where God said about them, "Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not." Why? Because they knew their Bibles. They knew what God had said. I saw a great picture yesterday, Brother Ian, you'd like this. It was a picture of a sheep, and the sheep had a helmet on and a rocket launcher. And it said, the worst thing in the world for a wolf is a sheep that's trained in the Word of God.
Amen. And it just, if a wolf comes in here, we'll spot them. They start talking. And you know how wolves are. They got the same vocabulary, but a different dictionary. You know, we'll spot them. It won't take long. Amen. Why? Because we study our Bibles doctrinally. Study the doctrines of the Bible. My favorite classes while I was at Midwestern Baptist College were the doctrines classes I took with Harry Carr, who was on this platform 6 years ago. Thank God, in heaven today. But the doctrine, we had the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of the church, the doctrine of angels, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of eschatology, last thing. I enjoyed those classes so much, just digging out the Word of God. All right, let me give you some simple, practical ways to help you to dig in your Bible. First of all, I know this is the most profound of the thoughts, and I'm sure you'll be disappointed. You have to make time to study. You have to make time. Time will not happen. Things will have to be done. If we're not careful, we can be Martha, and we can neglect the Spirit while we get the flesh, things of the flesh that need to be done. Amen. Things need to be done. We have to simply make time to study. Absolutely have to make time. Redeeming the time, Ephesians 5 tells us. Secondly, quietly read your Bible. I know what you young moms are thinking right now. Good luck with that. Amen. You need to find some time. I'm not even talking about study right now. I'm talking about quiet Bible reading time. You just reading your Bible. Something I've done for years, it helps me. Some people may disagree with it. I'll just tell you, I'm trying to be practical with you. When I read my Bible, me and Alexander Scorby read together. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Old Alexander Scorby, the audio. I get it in two gates. I get it in the ear gate and I get it in the eye gate. Amen. I've done that for years. Just a time where you're just reading your Bible. Whether it's three chapters a day, you'll read your Bible through in a year. Whether it's six chapters a day, you'll read your Bible through twice in a year. Whether it's nine chapters a day, you can read your Bible through in 4 months. Hard to believe, but it's true. Quietly read your Bible. Why? Because you need to develop a strategic grasp of the Bible. And it's hard to do that if you don't read your Bible. Okay? Some other things. Drake and I had such a good conversation. Study topics of the Bible. I believe the finest way to study is to study the Bible topically. This Bible that we have in our bookstore here, I don't know what it is, $10 or whatever. But the front of it has a 300-page, what they call a cyclopedic index, which is basically a subject index, a topical index. And you could go down anything. I'm just looking for something here. We'll find something. Let's see here. This is a good one. Mark, okay, and I don't mean the person Mark, amen, but the idea of marking has a note here. A sign for preservation, Ezekiel 9, 4 through 6. Sign of those following Antichrist, Revelation 20, verse 4. It goes on and on. Studying Mark, studying martyrdom, talks about here, believer's attitude. Remembering Christ's warning, do not fear martyrdom, be prepared. And it lists all the scriptures. You can study everything that the Bible has to say about a subject by studying topically. And I also say about studying topically is memorize verses topically. If I'm studying about the virgin birth, I'm going to go to Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. Then I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, verse 23. I'm going to go to Luke chapter number 1. And all these verses follow the theme. I'm going to go to Galatians 4:4, that he which was born of woman. Okay? And that is studying the Bible topically. There are so many topics. I could probably write a list of about 100 just like that of studying topics. I would highly recommend a topical help, topical study Bible. I have also up here something called Tori's Topical Textbook. And all this is topics of the Bible. It's, what is it, 300 pages. Here's one, the works, good works. Christ is an example of good works. It gives you the verses to look up. Called good fruits, James chapter 3, verse 17. Fruits meet for repentance, Matthew 3, 8. Fruits of righteousness. And you can read these verses and memorize them. And the next thing you know, you have a grasp of the topic of good works. Really, honestly, just trying there. Quietly read the Bible. Make time to study. Study topics. Here's something so important and so basic. Had someone come to me and they were getting ready to get into the junior church ministry, which, by the way, is the great baptism of fire for preachers. Junior church. Brother Lawley, if you can do junior church, you'll have no trouble doing church. Amen. And he said, what do I do? And I said, can I give you an easy suggestion? Buy a book called John R. Rice's Bible Stories and learn the stories of the Bible. Learn about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen? Learn about Noah. Learn about King David. Learn about David and Goliath. Learn about Daniel in the lion's den. Learn about Jonah in the whale's belly. Learn these basic Bible stories. And if you continue and study precept upon precept, the next thing you know, you'll have a strategic grasp of the Bible stories. We were taught in Bible college, particularly in the New Testament, to take a New Testament chapter and take an event and memorize that with the chapter. So that if you were to say to me, Acts chapter 16, I'd say the Philippian jailer gets converted in Acts chapter 16. If you were to say to me, John chapter 11, I'd say Lazarus gets raised from the dead. And you're developing, memorizing, studying, thinking about, studying here. It's what we're talking about. Developing a strategic grasp. Learning the Bible story. So important that we just learn the Bible story. So I learned the story of Naboth and his vineyard and how Ahab and Jezebel took it away from him, and it's still called Naboth's vineyard after they're long dead. Learn the Bible stories. Here's something, and this is probably where we struggle most. Be systematic about your study. I heard Brother Ewald in his Sunday school lesson talked about just sitting down and reading a book of the Bible. And not just Obadiah. Huh? Not just Philemon. Amen? But getting that overall grasp about why does God have this in His holy and perfect Word. Being systematic in your study. Sometimes we say, well, I want the Spirit to lead, and I'm all for having the Holy Spirit lead. Amen. But you know, God is a God of order as well. And to systematically go, every Christian ought to have a harmony of the Gospels where you could follow Jesus in the Gospels. And you could go down and you have here Matthew follows this, and then in Mark it says this, and cross-referencing those and looking at the miracles of Christ and looking at His prayer and just systematically going to, by the way, that's in here as well, amen, the harmony of the Gospels. So important, being systematic in our study. Boy, this is, I've mentioned this several times, but memorize. If there was one little book that I was given early on that helped me more than anything else, it was God's Promises for Your Every Need. Everybody ever seen that book? We've got them. Amen. We've got them in our, I think we give them in our gift bags, Mrs. B. Amen. Those little green books there. And it's just verses on a particular subject. And I started memorizing those verses. Started going down and memorizing those verses. Thinking about, we're going to talk about next week how important it is when you give the gospel to somebody to have those verses memorized. Because you know what you'll do? You'll try to find the page and you'll, oh no, I lost my page. Excuse me, sir. I lost my page. And the next thing you know, the Bible falls apart and the pages are all... Or you could just say, you know, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. is so important to memorize. But it goes along with being systematic. It goes along with having a strategic grasp. It goes along with topically studying. I've got a couple here. This is a personal preference. I'll get away from the pulpit. I think every Christian ought to use a devotional. That's just my opinion. Just my opinion. I have been helped more through the years by great devotionals. I know there's a lot of devotionals now. They get away from the King James Bible, and I certainly wouldn't encourage you to a devotional that doesn't use the King James Bible. But for those of you that are old enough to eat the meat and leave the bones on the plate, you can still read a devotional and read your King James Bible. Amen? See what God... I've got so many of the old Our Daily Breads with the King James Bible. Amen? And my goodness, I have so many notes, have devotionals by Vance Havner and J. Sidlow Baxter. And there's one in our bookstore that is just Scripture by a fellow named Bagster. A fantastic devotional. Spurgeon's Morning and Evening is a classic. You'll get great thoughts that'll help you and just to get you to thinking about God. And that's another point right here. Meditate. Meditate. We don't do that anymore. We don't meditate. We post. Huh?
Yeah.
We post. And can I say this to you? And listen, I'm for technology. We're doing too much scrolling and not enough thinking. Thinking about God's Word. Meditating upon what we just... I don't know about you. Hey, I'll read my Bible, Brother Randall, and 10 minutes later, I think, what did I just read? Anybody else like that, or is it just me? Amen. Okay, good. There's a few others of us, amen. And the rest of you are afraid to raise your hand, amen. And why? It's like that. Amen. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why is because we don't meditate. We don't sit. You know, that word Selah, it's a great word in the Psalms, Selah. I saw a little girl the other day, the mom called her over, she said, come here, Selah. And I was like, oh, that's a great, great name, amen. Stop, pause, and think. Selah. Stop, pause, and think. Boy, we need to do that. I understand, listen, boy, there's lots to do. I think of you people, you fellows in our church, you ladies in our church that own your own businesses, work hard, and you make every minute count, but you have to take time with the Word of God. I always think about this on Thanksgiving. You know, I thank God for technology, for innovations. I'm one of those people who can't cook, so I thank God for the microwave. Hallelujah. I do. But I've never had a microwave turkey, Brother Jim. I can't imagine it's that good. You know, in Christianity, there is no microwave formula for studying your Bible. It's just little by little, bit by bit, book by book, verse by verse, topic by topic, subject by subject, amen. And we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I have just a note here. Use devotional. And then I've got this again. And I've got a few here. And I've talked about it. But I believe you ought to surround yourself with helpful books. Now, you don't have to be like me and literally completely enclose yourself with helpful books. Amen. I have so many books. My wife says, you can't buy any more books till you read the ones that you have. And so what I do is I open one up and I read, and then I open another one up and I read, and then well, I've got a couple here. And again, just helpful. Every Christian ought to have a Bible dictionary. It's a good way to study your Bible. It's helpful. Again, these are meant. The one I like is Unger's Bible Dictionary. It was given to me by Jerry Davis, Brother Ewald, amen, years ago. And I saw him and I showed it to him. Gave me this in 1999. But again, it's subject-wise. Like, boy, we could go to, let's go to Berea. Let's see what it says about Berea in this Bible dictionary. All right, let's see here. Berea, Macedonian city at the foot of Mount Baramus. Once a large and populous city, the residence of many Jews, whose character for careful criticism in the study of the Scriptures was commended by Paul. Sounds like what we're reading tonight, amen? And then it says, Berea is now known as Veria, a place of some 15,000 people. It'll help you, amen? Along with these things that we've been talking about, a Bible dictionary. I also recommend a Bible handbook, a Bible handbook. And what this is just a little intro of each chapter in the Bible. Tells you, just again, trying to get a strategic grasp. There's several. There's one by Scroggie. There's one by Unger. The Halley's Handbook was a staple for years. These are just good books that will help you in your Bible study. But again, let me say this. They can't replace your Bible. If you have to choose between this book and all the other books, choose this book. But at the same time, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Other men have come before us, other ladies have come before us, and studied the very doctrines that we're studying. It's okay for us to enter into their labors. Amen? We'll help you. I thank God for people in my life that helped me study the Word of God. That their study inspired me to study. And I asked them, hey, would you recommend a book that'll help me to study? And they said, yes, get this book. And it did. And I consequently say, maybe to a young man, hey, get this book. And he gets that book. And he studies it. And he studies all about this book and makes this book his life. And then he tells somebody else. I think that's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, which is my verse for Bible college. Amen. The things which thou hast learned among me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so we're talking about being a Berean. Being a Berean. Getting in this book. Getting in this book prayerfully. Amen? Believingly. Individually. Thoroughly. Biblically. Daily. Doctrinally. Making time to study. Quietly reading your Bible. Studying topics, memorizing, learning the Bible stories. Be systematic, developing a strategic grasp of the Bible. Memorize the Bible. Use a devotional and surround yourself with helpful books. You do that and you'll be a Berean. You'll be more noble than them which are in Thessalonica. And you'll be a Bible student. We don't need any Bible scholars. Amen? Bible scholars are Bible correctors. We don't need those. We need Bible students. I want to be a Bible student. If somebody tells me, Pastor, thank you for being a student of the Bible, it's the highest compliment I could ever receive. I want to be a Berean till the day I die. Let's be a Berean. Amen. Father, thank you for these precious people.